I desire your prayers this evening that the Lord would give us the strength and the wisdom to be able to bring the burden that he has laid on our heart. I know that I probably don't have time to bring out everything that the Lord has laid on my heart, so I need wisdom to know what the Lord would have us to give to you tonight, and so I desire your prayers. I'd like to start this evening by asking you a question. Are you concerned about the condition of our nation and our world today? If you are, you're not alone. I hear people talking about it almost everywhere that I go. Dear ones, we're living in troubling times, times where sin and iniquity are abounding. And we're seeing the results of those things all around us. There's violence, there's wickedness, there's lasciviousness. The moral integrity of our nation and our world is just plummeting. And heathenism is just abounding in our world today. But you know, I realize that many of those things, they're not new in themselves. There's been elements of those things around, well, ever since sin entered into man. But what is alarming is how quickly it is increasing and how rapidly the moral principles that have been the strength and stability of our nation are eroding and are being destroyed. When I look at these things, we know if we continue down this path where it's headed to destruction. We know from history where these things will lead. You can take and look around or look in history and you can see great kingdoms and governments like Rome and the Babylonian Empire and just so many others where they're at today and what has happened. We have within the scriptures a great example of what happens when people turn away from God. When you look at Israel in the scriptures, you'll find that Israel was, they were a people that God chose for a special people unto himself. He took them out of slavery, out of bondage, and he made a great and a mighty nation out of them. And dear ones, as long as they serve God faithfully, God fought their battles, he healed their diseases, he supplied their needs, and there was no one or any nation that could stand against them. They were a mighty nation. They were a powerful nation. And yet, when you look at this, dear ones, there was enemies that they had that were set to destroy them. They had battles just like every other nation. And there was a difference with Israel than with all these other nations, even though they had battles just like everybody else. When their battles got too big for them, when they faced things that looked insurmountable or impossible, they had a remedy. And dear ones, their remedy was God. I want you to remember the remedy is God tonight. When you look at this, that the God that Israel served wasn't like the other gods of the nations around them. Dear ones, there was nothing that was too big, too hard, or impossible for their God. I want you to think about it just for a little bit tonight, because I want us to get a perspective of the God of Israel, of our God this evening. When you think about this, dear ones, how is it possible that anybody could stand against a people with a God like this? When you look at this, he is the creator of all things, and all things are subject unto him. And when people come against Israel or against God's people, they are coming against the one that created everything, and everything is subject to him. We've read scriptures in the Bible of how, we all have, I'm sure, of how that God was able to take and part the Red Sea. Now, dear ones, I want to encourage the parents. Read these stories to your children. I have enjoyed these ever since I was a child and my mother read them to me in family worship. And I want to encourage you because, dear ones, what it does is it gives us a glimpse of the greatness of our God. I'm going to tell you, the devil is doing everything he can to cut him down. He wants to bring him down to his size and to just like other men. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, our God is all-powerful. When you look at that, I don't know what you think about the account of how God parted the Red Sea or the Jordan River. But I look at this and I see the mercies of God. Do you know God took and he gave the Egyptians all night long to kind of cool down, if you will. Here they were, they just lost their firstborn children. They were angry, they were hurting, they were frustrated. They had lost their slaves and they were going after them and they were bound to determine, we're going to make an example out of these people. And God gave them all night long to cool off. Do you know when they woke up that next morning and they looked out and they were determined to go after Israel, it should have been a red flag to them when they looked out and said, where they're at? Well, there they go. They're going across. We've got them. They thought they had them hemmed in. But here they go out through the waters. Look at that. The water stacked up on both sides. I've never seen that. Do you know that should have been their first clue? After all the things, the plagues that God performed there for the Egyptians, that should have been a red flag to them. Whoa, there's something wrong here. But I'm going to tell you, they were so blinded by their greed, their fear, their pride, everything else, that they plunged headlong into their own destruction. And they never realized it until it's too late. Dear ones, that's what's happening in our world today. The devil has got many people that are driven by pride, by envy, by strife, by unforgiveness, by I'm going to get revenge, and they're plunging headlong to their own destruction. And unfortunately, many of them will be just like the Egyptians. They won't recognize what is happening until it's too late. Dear ones, they should have known that they were dealing with the God of Israel. Dear ones, Israel's God, there was no limit to what he could do. He could change night to darkness or darkness to day. You remember the stories of how that Israel was chasing their enemies and how that the Lord caused the light to just continue. Now, in my mind, as I read these things, I think, oh, I just put myself there and I think about these men. And here they are, they're just running for all that they're worth. And I can just hear them saying, well, now, just keep going. Keep going, keep going. It's going to be dark in a little bit and they won't find us. An hour later, and it's like, I can't go anymore. What's wrong? It's still daylight. It's the God of Israel. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, how can you fight against a people with a God like that? He can take, you remember the stories of the hornets? Now, you think about these men that fear nothing. They're coming in there, just hordes of these army. And I can just see them coming, and we're outnumbering you, Israel. You don't have a chance. And I can almost just see them taking their swords and just tapping it on their shields. We're coming. We're going to get you. And all of a sudden, a little old bee about that long. Bzzz. I don't know what you know about hornets, but I learned a long time ago you don't mess with them. My brother and I used to, just like boys will do, we decided, well, we knew how they hurt to sting, but we decided, you know what, we're going to get back. We got back as far as we could throw accurately, and we decided, I can hit that nest. Well, fortunately, my brother was a little better aim than I was. And he hit it, and he hit that nest, and I got it. But you know what, a little bit like, ouch! And I looked at him like, that bee, I mean, it was like that thing had a radar. And it just followed where that rock came from. We learned you don't mess with those things. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it doesn't matter how many of the enemy is out there, how strong they are. It doesn't matter how haughty or proud or how powerful they are. God showed them that he can take something this small and he can make them run. Dear ones, this is the God of Israel. This is the God that we serve this evening. I want you to know something. It wasn't just that. He could take and make their hardware malfunction, just like he did the Egyptians. Do you remember what it said that they, as they went into the Red Sea there, What happened? Their horses got tangled in the harnesses. Now, why would they do that? These were trained horsemen, but they got tangled in the harnesses. Their wheels began to come off. Do you think it was because they didn't maintain them? I say no. I say it's because the God of heaven, everything that is created is subject unto him. And he can take and cause those wheels to come off. He can cause those horses to get tangled in the harnesses. And he can cause those chariots to drag in the mud. Dear ones, he can even take and cause your enemy to turn against themselves. That's what he did to Israel over and over. When they were there, can you imagine? Here they are fighting, and all of a sudden, somebody stabs their brother. Right. Wait a minute, we're fighting them. No, I'm going to tell you what. They are also created by God, and they are subject unto him. When he speaks the word, dear ones, I don't know how he did it. But did he confuse their mind? Did he just all of a sudden, you know what, I remember something about you. I don't know what he did. But they fought each other, and Israel watched them destroy themselves. Do you know, dear ones, he doesn't even have to do that. He can take and make them hear or see something that's not even there. Can you imagine Israel standing by and watching the enemy that they were so afraid of, all of a sudden just turning around like, we didn't even lift our swords. Dear ones, how can you possibly take and prevail or even fight against a people with a God like this? I'm going to tell you, you can't, as long as their God fights their battles. And dear ones, that's exactly what God did for Israel over and over. I want to look at a scripture. These are very familiar scriptures, but dear ones, I want to establish these scriptures in our minds because it's important in our world today that we understand the power of our God. Let's look at 2 Chronicles, if you will, the 20th chapter. 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter and the 15th verse. This was where the Syrians had come with a mighty army against Israel. And King Jehoshaphat and the Israelites were just feeling overwhelmed. Now, I want to stop here. You've heard the statement or the phrase in our nation from the military, shock and awe, during Desert Storm and some of those places. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's not a new military tactic. It's an old military tactic that had been around for ages. And that's exactly what the Syrians were doing here. And it's what the enemies of Israel and others have done for years. If you can get enough of the army together and they can come in and they can just overwhelm people, just surrender in fear or turn and flee. That's exactly what they're wanting to do. I'm going to tell you, we need to remember these things in the scriptures, dear ones. Because it's not just literal armies. The enemy of our soul uses these same tactics. And that's why he comes in like a flood against you and I. His purpose is to cause you and I to feel overwhelmed and to just our hearts faint with fear. But I want you to remember we serve a mighty God tonight. Here in the 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, this was where the prophet was speaking to Jehoshaphat. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow," he told them to go down to a certain place, they're going to be there. And in the 17th verse, he said, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Did you hear what he said here? It said, "Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle." Dear ones, I want to ask you this evening. Do you have battles, trials, temptations, circumstances that are too big for you this evening? Has the enemy been coming in, troubling you, and bringing fears about the things that are before you? I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know. Dear ones, if he has, I want to encourage you to do the same thing that Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel did. to humble yourself before the great and mighty God of heaven, to fall upon your face and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to help me fight my battles. Because, dear ones, He is the remedy. Now, somebody might say, but Brother Curtis, you don't understand. I've been in this battle a long time. I've been praying and I've been crying out to God. Perhaps you have. But I want you to notice. I want you to notice what King Jehoshaphat said. If you go here in this fifth verse, I want us to get a hold of this, dear ones. In 2 Chronicles 20:5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heaven? And in thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? I want to ask you this evening, dear ones, is that how you see God? Do you see Him as the great I Am that has all power in heaven and earth? Or has the enemy caused us to look at Him and say, Lord, I think You can do this. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He said, art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? I want to ask you this evening, dear ones, has God been working little miracles in your life? Did He help you find those keys that you just couldn't find? That paper that you were looking for? Did He work this out? Has He healed your bodies? Has He done different things? Dear ones, if He has, let me encourage you to remember those things. And when you get in these types of battles and it seems like the enemy is coming in like a flood, I want to encourage you to remind the Lord you're the same God that worked in this and you worked in that. Come before Him with confidence and assurance, dear ones, because He is the mighty God. If He's not working, then perhaps we should stop and ask ourselves why. Because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God is working in the lives of His children. He is faithful to His promise. It says, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Oh, dear ones, our God is still God. Dear ones, our God has all power in heaven and earth. It's not diminished one iota from what it was right here. And dear ones, our God is still faithful to His covenant with His people. But the question that I have for you this evening is His name in this house. Have we consecrated this house to the service of the Lord like Solomon did? And dear ones, I'm not talking about this building. We already heard this morning about the church of God. Dear ones, there's something greater. I want to turn, if you will, with me over here to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 19th verse. The Apostle Paul said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Dear ones, if you're here this evening and you're saved, you've given your heart and life to God, then I want to tell you something. You're not your own. You have been purchased with a great price, the blood of Christ. And dear ones, that's the reason that Christ came to this world. It's the reason He suffered on the cross. If you haven't given your heart to the Lord, I'm going to challenge you. You need to do that. Because, dear ones, that's where the power is. That's where the access to all the things that God has for you and I, it comes because of being children of God. I want to turn now and I want to look at another scripture here. Another scripture in Matthew, and I want to notice what Jesus said. Matthew, the 27th chapter and the 50th verse. Matthew 27 and 50. Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. You know, dear ones, I'm thankful for the wonderful plan of salvation. I'm thankful, dear ones, that God made it possible for you and I to have access to this wonderful plan. Somebody might say, but why was the veil of the temple rent in twain? I'm going to put it like this, dear ones. It's for two reasons. One is because that God refused to dwell in literal temples built by man's hands any longer. Israel sinned against God. They rebelled against God. They crucified the Son of God. They refused to take and obey the commandments of God. Even though they had a form of religion, dear ones, Jesus said in one place, they denied the very power thereof. And so he rejected them as a people, and he departed from their temple. Now, dear ones, it's important for us to remember these things. And we'll see that hopefully as we go on. This is exactly what God warned Israel that he would do. And I'd like to turn over now to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. And I want to notice, this was at the dedication of the temple when Solomon dedicated the temple to God. And I want to notice here in this 12th verse of 2 Chronicles 7, what the Lord said to Solomon after he had made all the sacrifices and dedicated the temple. And it said, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." And I want to go down, and I'm going to try, time's getting away. In the 15th verse, he says, "Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, and my name, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually." God goes on down through here, and he begins to tell them that of the things he would do. He said, if you'll serve me faithfully, and I'm putting this in my own words, I'll do all these things for you. But if you take and you forsake my statutes, you better look out. I'm putting this in my own words, because I will also forsake you. He goes down here in this 20th verse through the 22nd verse, and if you can read some of these later, and he begins to tell of the things and what's going to happen to that house and how it's a proverb and a byword, and people come by and say, "What happened and how did this happen?" And it's because the people failed to keep the commandments of God. Israel, dear ones, did exactly what God warned them not to do. And dear ones, God did exactly what he told them that he would do. But I want you to know something. He didn't do it without repeated warnings and pleadings to turn from their wicked ways. No doubt, just like the warnings and the pleadings that have gone forth in this meeting already, the Lord pleading with souls to turn from the ways that you're going. I've got something better. Perhaps there's been some that have done just like Israel did. They've heard the plea, they've heard the warnings, and yet they turn their back. And that's exactly what Israel did. They rejected God. And I want to turn now, and I want to go to 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter. And I want to notice, I'm trying to hurry through these scriptures, you pray for me. The 36th chapter in the 16th verse, this is what happened after Israel rejected them. It says, "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose." I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it didn't happen just instantly. The Lord is very long-suffering. But after this continued and it continued, it got to a place until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Dear ones, this to me is one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. I realize there's other scriptures similar to this. But the reason it is so sad, dear ones, is because when there is no remedy, there is no hope for an individual or for a nation. When they face something that is too big for them, when they face their enemy that is too powerful for them, there is no one to help them. And dear ones, I want you to know something tonight. Sin is too big. It's too powerful for you and I. You and I do not have the strength or the power to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil on our own. We must have God. When you look at this, dear ones, it's a dangerous thing to trifle with sin. As I was meditating on this, and I was thinking, Lord, how do I break these things down? How can I make it so plain? And I will tell you, this is what came to my mind. It's like the people that are in the places where ISIS has taken. When they went sweeping through Iraq and through Syria, taking over town after town. When they went into those places, dear ones, they changed all the laws and the customs. The former government and its laws no longer applied once ISIS came in. The protections that those laws gave them no longer applied to them under ISIS. I'm going to tell you tonight, dear ones, there are laws of God. There are commandments of God that are meant for our protection. And when we get outside of the authority of God and get out from under Him, those protections no longer are afforded to you and I. It's only the mercies of God that we're not consumed. Dear ones, when these things happen and ISIS come in, they could take and say, I want your house. I want your wife. I want your children. I want you. What could they say? No. Wait a minute. That's against the law. You can't just come in here and do that. They were the law. Dear ones, they literally raped, slaughtered, beheaded, burned alive people. And I realize this is graphic, but dear ones, it's the reality that is happening over there every day. And dear ones, I want us to recognize the awfulness and the evilness, if that's a proper word, of sin. It's a terrible thing. And dear ones, they were forced, and they are currently being forced into service to do things that they detested. Their women were sold as slaves. Their men and their boys, and even their women, were taken and forced to be suicide bombers and to do things that they never probably thought they would ever do. But dear ones, they were powerless against those that were taking over them. And dear ones, that is the reality of what happens when there is no remedy. And yet, dear ones, that is the exact condition that man is in without God. There is no remedy. When you look at this, dear ones, this is the thing that happens when people get away from God. But unfortunately, what is happening in our nation today is many of the professed Christian people in our nation are doing exactly what the people in these towns and cities did. Many of them surrendered without hardly a fight at all. Those that were charged with the responsibility to watch out and to protect these towns and cities either voluntarily surrendered or they fled in fear. Why? It's because when ISIS came through with such force and brutality, that shock and awe, the people's hearts melted within them. And they just felt like, I either need to surrender or I better run in for my life. Dear ones, that's exactly why the devil comes against you and I like a flood. His purpose, dear ones, is to take and cause you and I to be faint-hearted and to just surrender in fear. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we have a cause that's worth fighting for. I'm not talking about literal battles. But dear ones, we have something that is so valuable that we need to fight spiritually against the enemy of our soul with every ounce of strength that we have. Dear ones, when you look at these things, we need to take and have a clear vision of the truth. We need to have a clear vision of the church of God like we heard this morning. Because dear ones, if we don't have, I'm going to tell you, you won't be willing to die for it. Political correctness and spiritual compromise has caused many people to take and be silenced and intimidated into silence. I can't say this. When I get on the job and when I go this place, I can't be counted as that. Because this is what they're going to say and this is what they're going to do. They've been intimidated into silence, or they've been taken and caused to surrender their moral values and truths without a fight. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's why sin and iniquity are abounding and they're sweeping across our nation today. There's another reason, dear ones, why ISIS made such fast progress as they went across Iraq. And that is because many of the people in those cities sympathized with their cause initially. Think about it. Here they were, and they were taken, and they were talking about how the evils of the Western civilization was coming in, and it's changing their countries, and many of the devout Muslims recognized. That's right. They saw things that were happening, and so there was something there that just said, well, you know, they're right. But what they failed to recognize was how destructive this force was. And when they recognized it, it was too late. Because they were under its influence and power. Dear ones, this is the same tactic that has happened all down through time. With compromise and with the fanatical movements that have come right in among us and throughout the professed Christian world, is because people took and they looked at it and they failed to discern the spirits that were behind these things. And by the time they realized it, it was too late. Because they were so caught up in it and under its influence that they were powerless to be able to do anything about it. Likewise, many professed Christians in our world today have taken and sympathized with the arguments that the world has made because of for sin. They've looked at these sayings and they saw this and they began to look at it from a human standpoint. Instead of going back and comparing it to the Word of God. And so they begin to make allowances and adjustments, not realizing the evil influence of sin and how far it would go. For example, divorce, adultery. Do you know when those things began to start out more, they used to be frowned upon. But when people would say, well, you know, it's not right for somebody to be in an abusive relationship. Why would anybody have to be in that? And they begin to make allowances for here and there. And then it was like, well, why would anybody want to have to stay in an unhappy relationship? You're not compatible. It don't work out. Why would even God want you to stay in that kind of a relationship? Do you see how it begins to spread, dear ones? But I'm going to tell you, we've drifted a far cry from the right to divorce for any reason. Because it's all about my happiness instead of what God ordained. And so now, we have in our society people going from relationship to relationship. From marriage to marriage to marriage. This one don't work out and that one don't work out, so I'm going to this one. And we've got to the point to where what's even the use of getting married? Just live with this one and live with that one. Do you see how it goes? And you know where those things go? We legalize abortion because that's the fruits of those type of lifestyles. And then it goes from there to same-sex marriage and to all these different types of lifestyles. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, sin is progressive in nature. And it's very destructive for an individual and for a nation. When you look at it, when you look at abortion, once you, as a nation, justify abortion, what's wrong with assisted suicide? And once you destroy the sanctity of life, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you've got a dangerous thing on your hands. And that's why we're having the conditions in our world today where people will just come up and shoot people that they don't even know. They have no sanctity of life. They can shoot them like a dog and it means nothing because they've lost something very precious that God put within man. It's just like alcohol. Once you legalize that and you say it's okay, what's the difference in drugs? And you see, it's just sin is so progressive in nature, dear ones. And this is exactly what has happened. When you look at these things, These are all the things, dear ones, that have led to the conditions that are in our world today. Violence. All the pornography and all of the immorality and the corruption and the violence and wickedness and all of these things that are happening, dear one, it's the results of these seeds that have been sown over time. The prophet of old said in Lamentations, the 3rd chapter and the 22nd verse, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Dear ones, if it were not for the mercies of God, there is nothing that would stand between you and I and the evil that is intending to destroy you and I. It's only because of the mercies of God that you and I can have deliverance from these things. But dear ones, this is the burden of my heart. This is the other reason why that God caused the veil of the temple to be rent in twain. Dear ones, it's because He wanted to give mankind access to the wonderful plan of salvation. Not just a plan of salvation that saves us from sin, but dear ones, one that comes in and cleanses us of all sin, and that makes us a temple that is fit for the great God of heaven to dwell within us. Dear ones, we can't have the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives without access to this wonderful plan. And that's what Christ came for. It's why He did it. I want to notice what Jesus said in Acts, the 1st chapter and the 8th verse. He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." Power for what? Power, dear ones, to overcome all the forces of evil that comes against you and I. I want to go on now, and I want to look in John, the 14th chapter. You can read some of this later in the 12th through the 17th verse. But I want to go straight to the point that I want to draw our attention to, and that's in the 13th verse. In John, the 14th chapter, in the 13th verse, it says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name," He said, "I will do it." Dear ones, God has committed Himself to you and I with a covenant, with a promise that is as great as any covenant He ever made to Israel. And dear ones, I want you to remember something. God will be faithful to His covenant to you and I, just as He was to Israel, as long as you and I are faithful to do our part. But I want you also to know, dear ones, tonight, if you and I do like Israel and we turn our backs against God and we fail to keep His commandments and we go our own way, God will reject us as a people, as an individual, just as He did Israel. I know that we live in an age where it seems like that everybody is a Christian. It's getting to where there's people that are just openly saying they're not. But there's so many people that are professed Christians regardless of the life that they're living. Regardless of the blatant sins that they're committing, they're still professing to be Christians. We're living in a time, dear ones, where people do not want anyone to look on them and judge their experience. No judgments. I'm going to tell you, it's so prevalent in our world, even our advertisements, no judgments. You see, it's out there. They don't want it. But dear ones, the Word of God is very clear on all of these things. I want to look now in Ezekiel. You bear with me this evening, dear ones. It's important that we get a hold of these scriptures in our minds. It says in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, in the 24th verse, "But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he had trespassed, and in his sin, he has sinned, that he has sinned, in them shall he die. Do you know, dear ones, there are many professing Christians in our world today that are just like the Jews in Jesus' time. They feel like that because I've been saved once, I'm always saved, regardless of the sins that I'm committing that are clearly defined in the Scriptures. If we had time, we could go through some of the Scriptures where Jesus told them, and they said, we have Abraham as our father. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. There's some key words. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Oh, dear ones, may the Lord help us this evening not to buy into the false doctrine that is destroying our nation and our world today. The false doctrine, dear ones, that has convinced many professing Christians that they're still a Christian, regardless of the way that they've lived. Dear ones, I am convinced this evening that there are many that are in the same place that Israel was. They don't realize that the Spirit of God has departed from them just like He did from Israel. They are powerless against sin, and many of them are slaves to sin. They are taking, and the enemy is taking and causing them to do things just like ISIS was causing people to do things that some of them probably thought they would never do. Dear ones, sin is destroying many, many souls in our nation today. It's destroying their marriages, their homes, their families, their health. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it doesn't have to be that way, because He is the remedy. Dear ones, this is why Christ came into this world, was to give you and I access to the power of God, to give us a wonderful plan of salvation that can deliver us from all sin, and it can equip us to where you and I can be temples that God, by His Holy Spirit, can come down and dwell within. Unfortunately, many people in our world today have done just what Israel did. Our text says in 2 Chronicles 36 and 16, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised His word and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy. No remedy, no hope, no helper. Dear ones, the burden that is on my heart this evening is that we recognize it does not have to be that way, because God is the remedy. Dear ones, He's the remedy for everything that you need. Everything. He is the remedy, dear ones, for every problem that you will ever face. He is the remedy for broken homes, broken hearts, and broken lives. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the blood and the love of God can take and come in and change situations. Dear ones, don't let the enemy take and convince you that there is no remedy for what you're facing. You might say, but Brother Curtis, you don't understand. I'm in this relationship, or I'm in this situation, and I've been dealing with this over and over and over, and there's no change. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it doesn't matter. Do you remember the great I Am, that everything that has been created is subject unto Him? That means every person that you have to deal with. That means every situation that you meet in life, every problem, it has to be subject unto the God of heaven. What you need to do, dear ones, is turn loose of those things. Let Him go and let God fight your battles. Don't allow the enemy to draw you into carnal battles, because you'll never win them anyway. What you need to do is let go and let God take care of it. I can tell you with confidence, dear ones, that God is able to fight your battles for you. Battles that are too big for you. If I had time, I could tell you of example after example of things that I faced in my life. And when I got Curtis out of the way, when I humbled myself, God picked the situation up and took it all away. There were things that looked impossible, You've heard me tell. I had a boss one time. And he told me, he said, I have a way of getting what I want. He got me out on a roof one place. And he'd been wanting me to do some things, and I couldn't in clear conscience do it. He said, I have a way of getting what I want. I knew he did. He had already taken another man and moved him plumb to another place, another building. He said, if you ever repeat that, he said, I'll deny it. I'm going to tell you, I struggled with some things. He was causing another man to ride over me, and it was just, but you know what happened? When I got Curtis under submission, the Lord helped me to see there's some things that I'm revealing to you. And dear ones, when I got those things in the place that I need to be, God picked that man up. He had no intentions of going anywhere. He picked him up and he sent him all the way to the East Coast. I've never seen him again. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, our God is in control. It doesn't matter what is happening in your life. We serve a God that is a mighty God. It doesn't matter whether it's afflictions, whether it's persecutions, whether it's trials or temptations or whatever it is. Dear ones, they're all subject unto the great I Am. If you and I can get to the place that God wants us to be in, I am convinced, dear ones, there's not a thing that our God cannot do. Oh, dear ones, I hope you get the burden of my heart tonight. We serve a mighty God. Dear ones, He is the remedy for everything that we need. But I'm going to tell you, the question is this evening, is His name in this place? Is His name in this house? Have we consecrated our lives to God? Have we surrendered everything to Him? Lord, my problems, my companion, my troubles, my children, all these things, have I surrendered them to God? Lord, am I giving it to You? Have I taken and I've allowed the Lord to take and say, Lord, He's cleansed me. He's forgiven me, and to everything within my power, I know I'm living saved. Have I taken and presented my all to God and given it to Him? Dear ones, this is not a difficult process. It's really pretty simple. Do you know that's why I believe God put all these things in the Scriptures? It's no harder than what Solomon did. When they took this temple and they offered all the sacrifices to God and they presented it to God, Lord, this is Your temple. We want You to take and dwell among us. We want Your power. We want You to answer our prayers. And Lord, we present this temple to You. Dear ones, that's really all you have to do. When you've done everything you know and your life is clean, all you've got to do is present your life to the Lord. I consecrate it all to Thee. Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. In all of these things that I'm facing in life, my battles, my trials, my temptations, Lord, I give them all to You. I want You to have Your will and Your way be done in my life. I want You, Lord, to come in and fill me with Your Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, He can do that just as easy as the Spirit and power of God went into that temple. The presence of God went down into that temple, and it made all the difference in Israel's lives. Every enemy that they faced could not stand against them as long as the Spirit of God was there and they were living according to the commandments of God. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there is nothing that you will face in life but with the power of the Holy Spirit in your life that you cannot be more than conquerors, because God is the remedy. He is the one, dear ones, that has all power in heaven and earth. He is the one, dear ones, that wants to come in and to make you and I kings and priests right here in this world. We don't have to take, dear ones, and surrender our values, our moral convictions. We don't have to turn and flee before the enemy of our soul. We can stand and say, Lord, I love Your truth so much I'm willing to die for it. And the power of God will come in. If He lets you and I go to the stake, the power of God will be right there to keep us. If He lets us be cast into the fiery furnace, I'm going to tell you, He'll be right in there with you. Because our God has all power in heaven and earth. He can take the heat out of the fire if he wants to. There's nothing, dear ones, that is too hard for our God. I realize that the enemy of our soul is working hard to diminish this in the eyes of the people. And he wants you and I to surrender without a fight. But dear ones, as I said earlier, we have a cause worth fighting for. I want to encourage you tonight to go all the way with God. To surrender your lives fully and completely to God. And dear ones, there is nothing that is not subject unto God. The only thing that is not subject to God is a rebellious spirit in us. I'm not talking about rebellious spirits in other people. They're subject unto God when they deal with us. The only thing that's not subject unto God is my will when I let it be that way. But when I surrender it all to God, there is nothing that comes our way that is not subject to the great I Am. Appreciate your attention this evening.